That's not one of the most well-known, but it's a reasonably well-known carol, which is often sung during Advent. It's an unusual carol because it doesn't start in the stable. It's not the old little town of Bethlehem or once in Royal David City. It starts slightly further back. It starts with Christ leaving his throne. It starts explaining that this was no normal baby, but the baby who has come is one who came from heaven itself into our world. And so it starts, I don't know how well you can see those words over the pictures, but I was wanting to make sure that those online could still see me, although that might not be a bad, good thing for them, but you're going to have to go with it, okay? Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown. Have you ever stopped to think about that very thing? What the cost to Christ was. The cost. It wasn't about, oh, I'm going on holiday, Dad. Now, sometimes to people today do their mission trips. Have you seen these people doing their mission trips? And the mission trips are very much like, I'm going to go and do this thing with the poor people for a couple of weeks. And then I'm going to go home and I'm going to feel better. And hopefully somebody will sponsor me while I go and do something with the poor people or the deprived people or whatever. This was something which was absolutely phenomenal. This was God himself leaving his perfection and coming to move in to the earth. John, in the passage that Daniel read, said, the Word, that's God, became flesh and moved. Well, as Eugene Peterson says in his version, the Message, the Word became a man and moved into our neighborhood. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is God showing absolute love. And with all the rest of the nativity scenes and that we will be looking at over the next few weeks, it started off with God's intentional decision to come to us. We're called to come to God. We're called to come to God. And actually, that's one of the things of the evangelist in our thing. You know, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, and give your life to him. But actually, it started off with God coming to us and giving his life to us. That's incredible. That's incredible. And with all our Christmas cards and our nativity scenes, we sometimes skate over that very important truth that this Christ child paid a huge price even before he was born. And then the verse goes on, but in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. Of course, the Bible tells us that, don't we? You know, as you look through the Gospels, it says there was no room in the inn. We don't know quite what the inn was, but it was likely to be a traveller's rest or something like that. There was no room. They hadn't booked ahead. I don't know if you've ever tried going on holiday without booking your accommodation in front of you. It's quite scary. That's what they did all the time in those days. And it was made even worse by the government of the day, as if a government would ever make anything worse. But it was made even worse by the government, says you've got to go home and you've got to go for this census. and there was no room. But that wasn't the only room there was no room for Christ. Because from his very arrival, not just the physical room, not just the fact he was born in the animal house, but the world was constantly trying to get rid, push out this Christ from among them. The one who left his throne and his kingly crown and came to earth, spent his whole life with people wanting to push him out. There was no room for him in Bethlehem. There was no room for him in Herod's world. There was no room for him in the religious leaders of the world. They wanted to push him out. We were blessed this morning, those of you who were here, to hear Gavin from Evangelical Alliance preaching and reminding us of the fact that we need to keep talking about Jesus. And as he was talking, that sort of sense that, you know, the world wants to keep pushing Jesus to the margins. They don't want Jesus. He's an inconvenient truth. And in fact, if you look around the world, the one thing that is banned in nearly more countries than anything else is the Bible. Is Christ, is faith. Why? Because Jesus is dangerous. There's a discussion in there. Last time I said that in a sermon in this church, I really got kicked around by somebody who said, you can't call Jesus dangerous. Hey, knowing Jesus is dangerous because it calls us to do things. But in Bethlehem's home, there was found no room for thy holy nativity. And then you've got that sense of the singer responding, O come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Now that, of course, is easily sung, but does that mean what we say? Because the Christ who came into the world, leaving the heavenly glory, came and the world was constantly trying to push him away, kill him, destroy him. They didn't like his teaching. They didn't mind his feeding. They quite liked that when he fed a few people. And they quite liked his healing, unless you were a religious leader and didn't like him healing on the Sunday or whatever. But the sense that actually there is room in my heart means, yes, Lord, I will give you the lordship of me. I will give you my all. There's so much more we could say about this song. But the second verse goes on. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal decree. That sense of the royal decree, we're back to the heaven and earth moment, aren't we? He had the choirs of angels singing and proclaiming his birth. I don't know what happened when you were born. I'm not even sure what happened when I was born. I don't know if there was an angel singing around when I was born. And it possibly wasn't when you were born. Of course, whenever we have a royal birth in this country, everybody's eager to, they stand at the gates of Buckingham Palace waiting for the sign to go up to say a baby has been born and it's either a boy or girl. And everybody's really excited by that. It's a baby. It's a baby. It cries. It wets its nappy. I don't know. But anyway, they're there and they're already excited about it. But the second verse is back to that theme. Contrast between royalty, palace, and the loneliness, the lowly birth, the humility of Christ. That sense of vulnerability. The world needs a saviour. And there are those world leaders, popular people, who make themselves out, they're going to save the world. Listen, the one who's going to save the world is not the one who can shout loud or promise all sorts of things. The one who saves the world is the one who came in lowly birth, in humility. If you're looking for a celebrity to save the world, you're going to be disappointed. Oh, come to my heart. Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Can we sing that with what some people might find disappointing? Disappointing that the baby was not floating 6 inches above the ground. The baby cried, despite the carol saying, no crying he makes. Look, he was a baby, okay? How do babies communicate with their parents? They cry, don't they? And yes, he probably wet his nappy as well. He's a baby. They do these things. He was like you and I. Maybe to some of us, that's a disappointment. He came from heaven to live among us. He came in humility. He came in vulnerability. Now, I'm missing a verse out because of time. But then thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free. John's gospel starts off, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus came with the word, with the truth, with something that should set people free. He stood up in the temple and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I have come to set the prisoners free, to proclaim sight for the blind, and the day of the year Lord's favor, or the year of the Lord's favor. He proclaimed that. It was to set people free. And some people did get set free. I think about disciples, I think about Luke. I think about that awful tax collector, Zacchaeus, who heard the word and responded and was set free. I think about a blind man begging and a dead man raised. The word of God that was within Jesus was setting people free. Yet, as the song goes on, but with mock and scorn and a crown of thorn, they bore thee to Calvary. Jesus, who had left his heavenly throne, his kingly crown, he came in humility and he lived amongst us. He gave the gift of life in the word of God and was treated like a criminal, mocked, abused, and went to a cross. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Thy cross is my only plea. The cross of Christ. That's the only key we have to life. As Christ died for us. And in many ways, that could sound like the end. And of course, we've gone further than the Christmas story, haven't we, here? We haven't mentioned shepherds and wise men. We haven't mentioned the Herods and that. But this carol takes us beyond. Not just beyond the manger and the life of Christ, not just beyond the cross, but it takes us to the reminder, as we did when we took bread and wine, that Christ will come again. When heaven's arches ring and her choir shall sing at thy coming to victory. Do you know what? Christ is coming again. It's going to be different next time. It's going to be different. And the writer to this song wrote these words, "Let my voice call me home, saying, yes, there is room. There is room at my side for thee." That is something we need to check with ourselves. Are we saying to Christ, yes, there is room? Recognizing if there is room, there's a cost. And if there's a cost, we've got to pay. The payment is letting him be Lord of our lives. But this carol's looking into the future. Christ is coming again. And our response when he comes to take those whom he loves and whom love him. To take those who've put their trust and love in Christ. My heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and calleth for me. Revelation chapter 19 talks about he who is faithful and true comes no longer in squalid trough from which horse is fed, but astride a white horse blazing in glory. He comes no longer to bear a crown of thorns, but with many royal crowns upon his head. He comes no longer to the audience of shepherds and their sheep, but to strike down the nations and to rule with an iron scepter, to overthrow all that is evil in this world. And whilst he comes in all that power, he does not forget the people, the ones for whom he died. He comes to call us home, in which there are many rooms in this mansion. John 14 tells us this. On that day when Jesus comes, we will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven, and with a loud commandment, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of the call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." O come to my heart, Lord Jesus. A different carol, but the one that really looks back to Genesis and on to Revelation. The God who left his throne, came to the squalor, was rejected and not wanted, yet he continued to give the living word, the hope, and the world responded with ridicule and death. Yet God's love did not end. And for the last 2,000 years or so, many have been giving their life to Christ. And all who have will have life eternal. Praise God. And Lord, we say again, O come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my life for thee. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the Advent hope that Christ will come again. We pray, Lord, that we will know you afresh and we will see your presence among us. That, Lord, we will grow in our understanding of you, in our witness of you, and in our life given for you. Come to our hearts, Lord Jesus. We want to say there is room in our hearts for thee.